Men only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner, and I am your host, David Pruse. My format, as usual, is business and economics on Mondays. Tuesday is my day of politics, so my guest will be based around that. Wednesday, my guest is an interesting Fairbanksan, pioneer, local legend, maybe even a nefarious character. Friday, it's all about Fairbanks. What we get to do over the weekend, those opportunities that are afforded to us, those things that make Fairbanks special. My job is to introduce this world, this planet, to the wonderful world of Fairbanks. Give everyone that Fairbanks fix we need once in a while. I'll try to get to your phone calls, but sometimes our conversations just don't stop. Please be patient. I will get to them. We are at 458-TALK, 458-8255. And with that, today is a Wednesday, but it's a day of economics. What the heck? We had a short week. And I have special guests in the office with me today, or in the studio, rather. We have, with the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, we have Alan Weitzner, the Executive Director, David Heinke, the Chief Operating Officer, and Colleen Bryan, the Communications Director. How y'all doing?
Great.
Great.
Enjoying yourselves so far?
Yeah, Fairbanks has been very welcoming.
Very good save there, Colleen. No one else had the mics up to them, so what the heck? How long are you in town for?
We're here for a day turn. Early morning, and we'll be going back out later on this evening.
You have a... You're the Industrial Bank of Alaska. I mean, you're the big boy in the block. You look at investment in an industrial way, natural resources throughout the state of Alaska. How's your Ambler Road project going?
That's interesting you ask about that. That's been a major point of the discussions today in Fairbanks, and obviously a key impact for the Fairbanks community on how that development goes. At this stage, we're in the middle of our 2021 field season. We've been advancing that. We have the annual work plan that's been approved with the BLM, and we're looking at really the forecasting and work that's needed upcoming for the 22 season at this point. So we're advancing on 2021.
Now, the road, if constructed, it's basically going to be a private road.
It's absolutely going to be a private road. It's
yeah.
been established only under a right-of-way on the federal side and in discussions with all the other landowners as a industrial access, controlled, permitted access road.
And it seems like you're doing something that most people don't. You're getting some of the stakeholders that might bring this road to the mining regions to invest in. Are you doing that?
Well, we have engaged it really on a focus of a public-private partnership. So initially with the Roads and Resources Program, and then ADA ultimately on taking that and going forward with the road development, it's been focusing on the permitting aspects for the road itself. And that's an important stage really of any road development or access development or infrastructure development within the state. Is you get some of the initial permitting in place, and by the state undertaking it or an entity like ADA as a public corporation owned by all the stakeholders within the state, it's ensuring that you're having a permitting process, an access process that gets to a broader economic development objective of the state as opposed to one individual investment focus or mining development or industrial activity. This case is the broadest, most potential impact ultimately for the state, as it was defined in ANILCA with the initial access now for the Ambler Access Project. The way that we look at the development and how we're pursuing the Ambler Access Project is building on the success that we had in working in partnership with NANA and TEC on the Red Dog Mine development. with the DeLong Mountain Transportation System. And so the prospect of Ambler is not just a red dog, it's 4 to 5 red dogs is the opportunity.
So you built, with Red Dog, you built the road, and then you leased it back to them.
Yeah, in the case of the road was built, there's storage facilities, and there's a port terminal. So it's a bit broader development for the access issues of the Red Dog mine development itself. Ambler's a little bit different, where ultimately with the connection to the Dalton Highway, it's that industrial access for the concentrate, goods and services ultimately coming the other way that would access the Dalton Highway, ultimately getting to the railroad and then to an export port.
You know, you say unique to Alaska or unique to Fairbanks. There's no development that's not unique because everything is so different. You know, stakeholders, landowners, access, Fed, state, Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, ADA.
David, that is a hugely important point you're highlighting there, is that it really doesn't matter where the source of the capital is ultimately focusing on it, because every project is local.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to work within the local community, has to support the objectives of it. And then when you talk about a broader development like the Ambler Access Project, it takes into the component the state's issues for economic development and their requirements. So it's a combination of all those issues coming into play.
You know, it's been interesting up here. You've probably been hearing about our housing problem with Eielson Air Force Base. How do you go about solving an issue when you have different economic factors, such as what the DOD will do? Will they contribute? Will they give a leasing license to someone? Will they put out an RFP? Will they increase the base housing allowance to come to Alaska? Have you been finding housing issues up here? Have you been on your visit? Are you talking to anyone about that?
Well, we're talking to some parties a little bit later in the day in advancing some of the discussion that's centered around it. There's obviously a key focus on the housing solution for Eielson, on base percentage, portion that's off base. As you know, and this is really how you and I first met,
the
discussion on it, is the fact that everything is local. The first perspective to get is from the local side. You're one of the resources that I reached out to understand what are the local dynamics that we need to understand before we start thinking about any financing tool that ADA may have within its packages of programs or direct project financing. Engaging on any type of structure is really trying to understand what that local perspective really is.
Okay. Well, heck. Now, David, what do you do? You're the COO, you're chief operating officer. You know, that's a wide definition.
Yeah, I'm relatively new. My prior role was at Alyeska Pipeline for almost 11 years. And before that, I was rural telecom and did a lot of work in the interior and YK Delta doing infrastructure projects. But the COO job, I like to kind of look at it as allowing Alan to focus on exterior, external to ADA, and I take on the internal to ADA, get things done, organize things. I have several groups that report to me. And as I kind of get my feet on the ground and let the role define me and myself define the role, I see a lot of good opportunity to put into play the things that both the board and Alan want to get done on behalf of all citizens here in Alaska.
You know, it seems like with ADA, you have to have people with knowledge and background, just about everything. Not only just banking, mineral development, fishing, wharfs. You know, if you look at your investments over the years and how people, banks go to you for a percentage of the financing on the risk, just things like that. Your organization, most people don't understand how richly involved Alaska is with you.
It's interesting that you bring that up. My background is as an electrical engineer,
mm-hmm.
Developing infrastructure. I come from, I originally came here from Upper Michigan, copper mining, defined that region. I came up in 85 as a logger. And when Alan, when he had posted this job, I'd been working at Alyeska for some time, really enjoyed that role. I was the vice president of engineering and risk. But we're in a pretty good spot on taps. I think everybody in the community knows we've been managing lower throughput, flow assurance. We've kind of set up the pipeline in a really strong maintenance mode. And I had always kept my eye as a citizen on ADA. And so I focused on this position that was open and seeing what I could do to further, you know, our state's interests as we develop resources.
Okay. Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're at 458-TALK, 458-8255. When we come back, we'll talk more with Alan, Dave, and Colleen of ADA. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Hi, this is Mike Hajdukovich from Trax Outdoor Center, inviting you to join me every Saturday at 12:30 right here at KFAR for the Trax Outdoor Show, where we'll chat about everything to do with the great outdoors in Alaska, from cross-country skiing, fat bikes, to paddleboarding, kayaking, water skiing, and yoga. We cover it all with the great guests and fun topics. That's the Trax Outdoor Show with me, Mike Hajdukovich, Saturday, right here, 12:30 on KFAR Radio, right after Health Talk, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
We all feel it. The change of season is coming soon. Make sure you're tuned up and ready with Cowles Heating. Thank you to all of the valued clients for sticking with Cowles Heating for another year. Rest assured, you can count on Cowles Heating year after year for boiler repair, inspection, cleaning, and replacement. With your continued support, they'll be here for many more years to come. Schedule your inspection, repairs, and heating upgrades. Cowles Heating, 1675 Richardson Highway. Call 479-HEAT. That's Cowles Heating, 479-HEAT.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Weather brought to you by GCR. Alignments protect your vehicle steering system as it extends the life of your tires. Book yours at GCR Tires and Service, the Tire Guys, taming the Alaskan Road, Van Horn at Cushman.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 62. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 45. High temperatures reach up to 64. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Pruse in the studio here with members of the ADA, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. We have Ellen Weitzner, the Executive Director, David Heinke, the Chief Operating Officer, and Colleen Bryan, the Communications Director. Now, Colleen, when you come up to, say, Fairbanks, and you're looking at a large interior development, a road, where do you start?
I think you always want to talk to the people that are living in the area, right? That social license to operate is so important, and you want to make sure that you understand the priorities and the concerns and the values of the people that live in the area. And so I think that that direct outreach is really the first, and in my opinion, the most important step in that engagement.
Okay. you are looking at the road that goes to Ambler. Where's the jump-off point from?
It's at the milepost 161 on the Dalton Highway. It's the beginning entry into the Ambler Access Project, and then it stretches 211 miles across the route, reaching outwards towards Ambler.
And what phase are you in right now?
We are in the what we've defined as the final feasibility and permitting activity phase. So what we're looking to do is get everything defined design-wise, geotechnical-wise, facility structure-wise, cost dynamics, the financing, you know, the structure of the financing, getting the agreements for its use. All of that's being developed at this point in time over the next, as we've staged it, for 2021 through to latest the end of 2024.
And the BLM, it seemed like, they were the ones who really defined it as a private road. They did not want the public hunting, fishing, things like that going into that region yet.
Well, Dave, if I could just give one clarification. Yeah. It was ADA that defined it as a private industrial access only road because of the public comments and the input received from the local communities.
Okay. I knew the BLM was probably agreeing with you.
Yes. And that was supported ultimately by the vast amount of public comment that was engaged with in reaching ultimately the record of decision.
ADA's gotten involved in some really neat things. You came into the interior and bought Fairbanks Natural Gas, a consortium there. But also, you went into the 1002 area, of Anwar, and with the Biden administration and the banks looking at pressure from environmental groups, they were looking at this, how could they shut it down? And the last few weeks of the Trump administration, there was a lease sale. And ADA made an economic and a political decision, which I totally agreed with, to bid, minimum bids, on, I believe there's 22 leases up there.
There's, a total of 28 or 29 tracks that were defined.
Okay.
But we bid on a subset of that.
How many did you end up getting?
We bid, actually we put out bids on 11 tracks. We were awarded 9 of those tracks. And we finalized 10-year leases with the BLM for 7 of those tracks.
Okay.
And what I would highlight, too, is that with the 2 tracks that we did win in the process that we elected not to go forward with, the principal point of, say, the point forefront in our mind was one of the key, and I say a common issue with anyone who's looking at responsible resource development within Alaska, particularly within the coastal plain or Section 1002 area of Anwar, is the surface involvement, right? The amount that we're disturbing, land that we're disturbing. We really took a close look at concentrating the lease tracks and really trying to define seismic activity or survey, updating the survey studies in a defined area first. We do believe that, and again, as defined by Congress, there would be 2 lease sales. There was an opportunity to go back, and once we have a better understanding of the initial leases and once the second lease sale was available, we always had an opportunity to go back for those leases or other tracts that may be available.
You know, in Alaska, we are, no one is more regulated in our mineral development. No one does it better, and no one has to go into the harshest conditions like we do.
That's absolutely correct. And really, it gets lost in the conversation on a more national context. And you mentioned about it with us going into Section 1002. It's that defined area within ANILCA, which is the coastal plain, that was defined under that ANILCA arrangement as non-wilderness in the whole agreement ultimately in establishing Anwar. So when we got engaged on that, that really brought us to a national context. The interesting point was Colleen joined us as our communications director 2 days prior to our board meeting in really addressing, proposing ultimately to our board the establishment of a budget for us to engage on that bidding. So Colleen has been actively involved on the public engagement, particularly of Section 1002, but then also all of our other investments, which have also become a little more attention attached to it because of that involvement in Section 1002. And she's been great on that engagement and really guiding us internally on what systems we need to put in place to be more responsive on the public comment. All public comment is necessary on this, including those that are in favor of the development. And sometimes that voice is also getting lost in the process, the parties that are actually supportive of the broader development of Section 1002.
It gets interesting, doesn't it, Colleen?
It does. One of the things that you had mentioned earlier is that AIDA has so many subject matter experts on staff, whether it's maritime or mineral resource development. And one of the ways that I see myself providing value to AIDA is being a translator, because I'm not a subject matter expert on finance development or on mineral exploration. So I think I can be that bridge between our subject matter experts and the public at large to help understand what those concepts are, what the benefits are, what sort of the how we got here kind of situation, to try to help explain that.
You ready for a phone call?
Certainly.
I think so.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with AIDA, and your name is?
Morning. It's Al.
Hello, Al.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understood clearly what I just heard, because it seemed kind of contradictory to me. You know, when it came to the 1002 area, which there's probably a lot of opposition through public comments not to do anything in there, and yet the Ambler Road, that had a lot of public comment, AIDA chose to use those public comments and not actually try to see if there's more representation for, you know, public use of that road.
Well, if I can address the issue, what we were aware of in the discussion on Section 1002 is the broader support that is there for Section 1002 development. And when I make reference to that, what I'm highlighting is the Alaska Chamber of Commerce has a annual poll of Alaskans on their views on development of Section 1002, and over 64% of Alaskans are in favor of responsible, and I really want to highlight that, responsible development of those oil and gas resources. There's also the support that's coming from the 24 communities that are in and around the Section 1002 area. That's through the voice of the Arctic Inupiat, the governors of our great state, including our current governor. Governor Dunleavy has been very vocal in his support for Section 1002 and its development. And as well, the legislature in each session has passed resolutions, and again, as our representatives across the state have passed resolutions in favor of development. So there is, it is fair to say that there is broad public comment support for responsible oil and gas development of those specific tracts on the Section 1002.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but I think there could be just as broad support for an Ambler Road for responsible use on that road besides just mining. You know, definitely in the help of wildlife management.
And you're on the Alaska Board of Game?
Well, yeah, but I'm just speaking on my behalf and not representing the Board of Game at all. I've been involved in wildlife management for decades, and, you know, access is a huge problem when it comes to managing wildlife populations.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean by that, Al. Okay, so just looking at this is a private road, so you're wondering if this will ever be opened up for hunting, fishing, when do we have to go out and biologists are saying we need to lower a herd population here, things like that.
You know, one of the key things that made it helped when the Western Arctic caribou herd started crashing, there was no access or no ability for high harvest due to the limits of the geographic location and access for hunters to harvest those caribou or even maintain a population.
I've got to take off for a commercial break here, but I'm sure with that thought, over time they'll be looking at things like that.
I'm sure they're not. I mean, we couldn't get anywhere with Pogo yet, so.
Okay, buddy, you take care. I'll talk to you later. Bye. And Fairbanks will be back after some state news, some Fox News, some commercials. And we'll be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
A controversial statue of Robert E. Lee that stood in Richmond, Virginia for more than 130 years was taken down today.
Virginia Democratic Governor Ralph Northam had announced plans to remove the monument in June 2020 following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, but it was stalled until the state's Supreme Court ruled against two lawsuits, clearing the way.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. The Biden administration is setting a goal to have nearly half the nation's electric power come from solar by 2050.
The New York Times reports the Biden administration is expected to announce it intends to increase solar energy production from around 4% to 45%. The Energy Department is calling for more solar panels and wind turbines. Ultimately, Congress will decide how much money to spend on energy reform.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has named a longtime State Transportation Department employee as his pick to lead the department. Ryan Anderson replaces John McKinnon, who had served as commissioner since the start of Dunleavy's term in late 2018. McKinnon says several factors were at play in his departure. He says he will turn 70 next year and doesn't see his mother or grandchildren as often as he would like. Dunleavy's office said Anderson has been with the department for 20 years. Anderson's appointment is subject to legislative approval. He wants to focus on employee health and public safety. Officials say the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the pace of residents moving from Newtok, an Alaska community threatened by erosion, to another village. KYUK Public Media reports 9 homes in the new village of Murtarvik that were started last year remain unfinished and that no one has moved from Newtok to Murtarvik since 2019. Patrick LeMay, who was leading the building effort in Murtarvik, says the shortages for material have persisted, and the virus itself has been an issue, with Newtok recently experiencing its biggest outbreak since the pandemic began.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
You heat your home with wood because it's cost effective. So why not get the most out of your fuel with a Blaze King from the Woodway? Blaze King has been the go-to wood stove in interior Alaska for decades. Blaze King wood stoves burn efficiently. They have long burn times and produce comfortable, even heat. Blaze King, proven technology for interior Alaska for decades. Buy yours from the interior's only authorized dealer, the Woodway. Heating your home the Alaskan way, the right way, the wood way.
You find your calm and steady out on the trail, wherever Alaska's wilderness calls you, and you keep answering that call every time. The next hunt, the next fishing trip, or camping with the family. Living in Alaska gives you the opportunity to explore. Finding your Alaska is a journey that will always lead you just beyond your next campsite. Frontier Outfitters is here, so you can be there. Alaskan proven equipment, the brands you trust. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prues in the studio here. And from the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, I have Alan Weitzner, David Heimke, and Colleen Bryan. And we're going to take a phone call that's been patiently waiting over the break. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, I want to say I happen to agree this time with Al. The Ambler Road, if it's not open to the public, then don't bother, you know. We don't get a state a nearly big enough return on our state royalties from mining, large mining operations. They're still stuck in laws that date back decades. and we don't get nearly as much as we get from oil, which I think also we don't get enough from. So, and if you're going to have a big mining operation and don't open this road to the public, I think that's not good. And anyway, but Al also reminded me last time he was on the show, about, I guess it was yesterday, we talked about a movie, This Is My Alaska.
Yeah, by, whatchamacallit, Leroy Schiebel.
Yeah, well, anyway, it wasn't available on Amazon to purchase, but it is at the library, at our wonderful library, which is a great service that people should use if they don't already. And so I put a hold on it. It's on DVD, so anybody that wants to watch it can reserve it at the library.
Thank you very much for the phone call, Mel. You have a good day. Okay. There we go.
Dave, can I give you some points on why I think it is and remains in Alaska's interest to have an access road that, in this case, is industrial only, that's meeting, the feedback and the requirements from the communities along the route? It's ultimately because of the access that it's creating for the Ambler Mining District. Again, going back to the initial elements of why this access road, why it was defined in Anilka, and the economic development that's coming, that's implied or implicit within that legislation for the state. What it gets to is within the Ambler Mining District, we're talking about 4 to 5 Red Dogs. Mm-hmm. It's employment at Red Dog has been 3 generations of 500 Alaskans going to work, up to 600 on a seasonal basis, but 3 generations at that level from the production that's coming from what is now the number 2 producer of zinc globally out of the Red Dog mine. Again, all to Teck and Nana and their operations that are out there. So if we are developing a district that now has access to 4 or 5 of these similar type size mines, again, just relative to the size, you're talking about the employment that then gets up to opportunities of 3,000 well-paying jobs for Alaskans in Alaska.
Well,
go ahead.
Also, you're talking mining. Now, you're talking heavy equipment. You're not just talking people employment. You're talking locally here on what it takes to for a miner to operate. There is no better trickle-down theory of economics than mining and the employment.
You're talking about now the direct jobs,
yeah,
the indirect jobs get associated with it, and then that's exponential. And the element of the size, the good paying jobs is not just the 3,000. These are 3,000 families.
Yeah.
And then the services that get attached with the families and related to that. The other side of it is that there's a critical U.S. need for the minerals that are in the Ambler Mining District. There are critical strategic minerals that have been identified by the geological studies that are U.S. sources for the, what has been generally referred to, why are we investing into mining activities or oil and gas activities and not into the new economy? Well, effectively, the new economy relies upon mineral development. You talk about cobalt resources that can completely replace what a U.S. exports or imports ultimately from Africa for battery development is present in the Ambler Mining District. There's other critical minerals that are absolutely necessary for EV technology advancement, for solar panels, for wind turbines, for aircraft engines. It's that essential that's there that really, I think, is another factor that's getting lost a bit in the conversation of what those overall benefits are for the state of Alaska and its resource development for the U.S.
They would not allow the pipeline to be constructed until the Alaska Native Settlement Claims Act was solved. So, guess what? Scene one, take two. But now, you're going over, you're accessing other people's land. And this is part of the equation. And you have a very delicate equation for success.
Absolutely. And what I would highlight is that at this point in time, we have a record decision that represents a federal approval.
Mm-hmm.
But that's that is a key milestone, but it's just the very start. We have a patchwork within the state. You have federal landowners, native landowners, state, and borough ownership. And then that's present within the Ambler Access Project. We have five distinct landowner entities. That is the federal side, which have two parts within it, which makes it complicated. It's the BLM and the National Park Service.
just put a gun in my head and shoot me.
Well, it's...
You got to deal with the National Park Service?
It's complicated for the...
Oh, I feel sorry for you, Colleen.
Things luckily got coordinated from the federal oversight as the coordinating agency ultimately onto it. However, the state has input on this. It's 125 miles of the route. You have two native landowners, native corporation landowners that are part of the engagement process, part of the stakeholders in how this ultimately gets developed and the final feasibility stages of it. We're lucky to have in place a land access agreement for the current studies that are necessary at this stage with Doyon. We have a permit that's coming into play with NANA for the same purpose. The Northwest Arctic Borough, as well as a landowner that is involved in it. So it's a very coordinated process, ultimately, in trying to define what we hope to get to, which is the full right-of-way for the Ambler Access Project. But ultimately, there's that economic development opportunity that needs to be present for all those parties within the communities along the route for the development that's happening within the Ambler Mining District. And then from that, the development, the benefits ultimately to the state are higher. It's part of the economic diversification within the state from oil. The royalties are meaningful. They do go to a portion of that goes to the permanent fund, which is the endowment for all Alaskans. So there's really key benefits that come here. There's also issues related to logistics within the state that have the ripple effect of development that would come from a broader access in that district, because the concentrate itself finds its way to the Dalton Highway, goes to Fairbanks, goes on to the railroad. It needs to go to a port. The port itself needs to have that development. The port needs to have full rail access. It's ultimately a way of by being able to concentrate it into a certain development areas. Again, given our limited capital at play, concentrate where that development is happening. You then have an opportunity for broader processing within the state. So it's those type of development issues that really come from opening up the opportunity and the foresight that all our forefathers had in the defining what was under ANILCA and the rights of access for economic development.
You know, everyone always says that we should develop more minerals. Here's the opportunity. Simple as that. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Ada, and your name is?
Hey, this is Carl.
Hello, Carl.
Hey, so I just got a comment. He was saying that there's something about Alaskan jobs, and that kind of made me quickly think of, up in Dead Horse. I don't know what the actual numbers are, but it sure seems to be that there is at least half of out-of-state jobs that are actually up there, people that collect the PFD and work half the year up here, and they're making money that Alaskans could be making. And I know several people who haven't been hired up there just because of kind of woke politics. You're not the right skin color, you're not the right gender. Instead, they'll hire somebody out of state that meets that criteria. And I'm actually curious, if this mine does take place, if they're actually going to be committed to hiring primarily Alaskans. And that's the only question I have.
I think you should look at how Fort Knox does it and how the other local mine down near Delta does it.
Sure.
And the Fort Knox, it's basically a local population.
Well, that's easier, though, for them because they're within driving range.
Yeah.
And, they're going to probably be doing, I would guess, at least a two-on, two-off type thing like Pogo does, and I know. I have a friend that works out at Pogo, and he used to be, he was born and raised here, and because of his convenience and schedule, he actually moved out of state and still works at Pogo, which is perfectly fine. But I'm just curious if they would actually make kind of a handshake pledge stating that they would literally be primarily looking for Alaskan employees. You know, I think that would be a really big thing for people to hear. So, but that's all I had.
Okay, thank you for the phone call, Carl. Appreciate it.
Yeah, from our side, I'd support the comments on really highlighting and getting a focus on Alaskan jobs for Alaskans.
Yeah.
And what I would, you know, that really is something that's determined ultimately in development by the mine. It's not part of the road. The road development is going to have a focus on Alaskans.
We can take another phone call here. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Bill.
Bill, is that your dogs in the background again?
It is. It's a corgi, and it's keeping the elephants away. I haven't seen one since I got it.
Okay.
So, anyways, at ADA now, are they involved in agricultural development? You have the Tolchakik ag area there to the west of Nenana, which would require road and infrastructure to develop it. Is ADA involved in agricultural development? And I guess the second question is, how do these projects come to the attention of ADA? Are they actively seeking out development areas, or they're dependent on the governor sending a request for the ADA involvement? How does ADA get involved in these projects? I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you for the phone call, Bill.
So, in quick answer, we have not directly been engaged on agricultural development. It's a resource, certainly within the state, that has access, and we're looking at some of the other access developments that we have in different boroughs where that is a potential resource for use of an access road. But we haven't engaged anything directly or specifically in agriculture or, you know, the follow-on infrastructure support for that industry sector. When it comes down to the projects, that how we get engaged, it's a broad mix, actually, of what has, if you look at the portfolio of projects, we've either initiated some of them ourselves because it's been in partnership with private capital where they are looking for a partner within the state that represents that interest, that involvement ultimately with them, that gives them comfort to make a further investment on the industrial or commercial sector. Or we do have programs that it's been in discussion within the administration about a key focus or public policy directive that is really trying to achieve certain development. You know, the resource development has been a key focus on that side. The legislature as well has been defining in certain areas where they want ADA to make some investments. There may be a particular asset that either is distressed or is needing further development where it gets defined that's what that a fund would be established that's specifically for that area. We have that with transmission, with the Sustainable Electricity Transmission Supply Fund, as well as with the Arctic Industrial Development, Arctic Infrastructure Development Fund. So we get certain funds that get defined for specific areas of focus by the legislature.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This is Gary from Giraldo's. No matter how delicious food is, without great service, that fantastic taste, well, it would be a little less fantastic. At Giraldo's, we pride ourselves on having the most delicious old-world Italian food, but also for service that will make your visit truly memorable. From the door to the table, from the appetizer to the dessert, we strive to exceed your expectations, leaving you free to enjoy the wonderful flavors and savor your experience.
Giraldo's Italian Restaurant and Pizzeria. Say yes to garlic, say yes to Giraldo's.
You're tired of waiting for those potholes to get fixed. Well, now you can easily do it yourself as Denali Industrial Supplies, your source for PermaPatch. PermaPatch, the permanent pavement repair. Perfect for those potholes and cracks in your driveway and utility cuts in asphalt. Proven the most durable product by the federal government's SHRP test. Easy to use without any mixing or prep. Simply open, pour, and done. Find PermaPatch and other new innovative products at Denali Industrial Supply.
Denali Industrial Supply on Van Horn Road. Look for the big red roof.
Hi, I'm Melanie Chapman, the newest nurse practitioner at Fairbanks Clinic with a friendly health tip for you. An ounce of prevention really is worth a pound of cure. We encourage routine screenings for early disease detection, such as pap smears, mammograms, bone density, and colorectal screenings. And remember, immunizations also protect against diseases.
Set up your preventive appointment today at the Fairbanks Clinic in their new location on Kellam, just off Airport Way. Call 452-1761 for Fairbanks Clinic.
You probably already know that Independent Rental has all the rental equipment you need to get the job done. What you may not know is that Independent Rental provides small engine service, repair, and maintenance at the best shop rate in town. If you don't believe me, make a few calls. It's the best deal with the fastest turnaround. Bring all your small engine yard equipment to Independent Rental. You'll have it back and you're ready to go.
Independent Rental, 2020 South Cushman. We're here to help.
Weather brought to you by Frontline Automotive. The Frontline is tough, and Frontline Automotive has your back with all general vehicle repairs. Engine, powertrain, suspension, bumper-to-bumper, complete vehicle service, and repairs.
KFAR Weather.
Overcast skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 62. Winds out of the east, around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight, lows level off around 45. Highs level off around 64. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Welcome back, Fairbanks. David Prue's in the studio here with Alan Weitzner, the Executive Director of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, David Heinke, the Chief Operating Officer, and Colleen Bryan, the Communications Director. The rare earths elements of the area that this road will go to are basically extraordinary. Colleen, what are some of the elements that you'd be looking at mining in this area?
I think cobalt for sure is one that we'd like to draw a lot of attention to. When you think about, in terms of just national security, what that would mean for the United States, when you have to import those kinds of minerals, they're only found naturally occurring in a handful of spots internationally.
And they might not be very nice to the United States.
Perhaps. And so I think it means a lot for the country's national defense posture to be able to develop those minerals domestically and to be able to export them and then also use them domestically instead of having to import them, I think would be of tremendous benefit to the state of Alaska.
And it's not just the Ambler, you know, mining district, which has, you know, again, is abundant in those resources, which you know, while not a critical mineral from that standpoint, but it's certainly essential mineral within the new economy is copper.
Yeah.
Again, nothing electrical is implemented without copper, and then also ultimately it's other industrial uses. So that's that base concentrate. You have the critical minerals that are necessary in aircraft engines, our phones, our batteries, solar panels, all within that. Then I also think about our graphite resources within the state. Again, not particularly within that the Ambler Mining District, but broadly across the state. The state as a whole is a resource on minerals and critical minerals, strategic minerals, for the U.S. as strategic resources, defined resources, really being able to contribute to military usage, magnets, you know, being one of the key elements with that. There's a lot that we can be doing in advancing that resource development within the state that benefits the nation as a whole.
There you go. Well, you guys have a large day in front of you here. You met with the Chamber of Commerce. How'd that go?
It went great.
Yeah, I think it was with the Energy and Resource Committee,
mm-hmm.
and really doing a just general presentation on who we are, what we've done, what are the major projects that we're looking at, and really what then the impact is within Fairbanks. Because we're within Fairbanks, we're within the local community, broader than just our bigger projects. We have our loan participation program, where there's, I think, about 60, I believe it was the numbers, 15 loans are within that, about $16.6 million that's been supporting Fairbanks-based businesses and their commercial real estate development. We have also through you know, COVID-19 and its economic impact with the AK Cares program that we work with DCCED. 320 Fairbanks businesses were supported, and it really being able to provide funding overall, and I believe it was in excess of $30 million in grant funding under that program for the small businesses within Fairbanks. We have our conduit revenue bond program where we funded over $126 million to TCC in support of Alaska Native and rural access to healthcare, really in the communities like Tok. So there's all these other programs that we're involved in that day to day, Ada is in the community. No one sees it. Yeah, we don't put our nameplate on the buildings. We don't put our nameplate on the particular areas that we've impacted. We're that continued patient capital support in the community.
Now, I've looked at and I've followed the Ada aspect since I became a professional, as an appraiser. The governor appoints, but the governor doesn't get to tell you what to do, as one person may have alluded to. The governor appoints directors, but he doesn't say who gets a loan or how you get a loan or anything like that.
No, we're a public corporation in the state of Alaska, and we are a political subdivision within the Department of Commerce. We have a board that's established by seven parties that are all appointed by the governor. Five of them are independent or private sector directors. Two of them are the commissioners of, one is Commissioner of Commerce, the other one is Commissioner of Revenue, or they appoint someone within those commissions. So that forms our board. To the extent that we have an agreement that's put in place under our bylaws or a underwriting of a development project finance or a loan participation, that is reviewed and a financial plan is put together by staff, and then subject to certain requirements of it going to the board is then presented to the board for approval.
There you go. It seems like wherever you go, Ada's been there. Ada supported it. Ada's been involved. If you look at the roots of Fairbanks, the loans that have been made, the local banks really enjoy the participation that they can do with you. Your loan terms, your interest rate, they're bringing you the client, they're participating in a risk, and you're participating in the risk.
And it's a program that's equally available to all financial institutions within the state of Alaska.
And it allows them to keep a lot of their cash reserves available for other loans.
Absolutely, and it's established really to provide a level playing field, right? A smaller financial institution has a great relationship with a local borrower, as opposed to an external bank or a larger bank that may not be in the community. That local bank is able to provide that same product because it keeps that relationship at the local bank, and then it focuses ultimately with the patient capital we provide, it focuses that borrower on expanding their business or increasing job growth within their own business.
Alan, we have about a minute left. We'll let you finish up here on behalf of Ada. Thank you for being here.
Well, I appreciate the time and really want to highlight with the role that we play. We always are looking at engaging with the local community. There's nothing that we can go forward with that doesn't have the support of the local community, or in some of the broader programs or projects that we undertake has the broader state report and support and the input and perspective from Alaskans is extremely important to us, and we want to make sure that we're focusing on the right things, but critically we have access to the resources that were promised us early, that the economic development comes from those projects, and that ultimately from the programs and projects that we get engaged in, that there's tangible benefits that come to Alaskans in job growth, economic diversity, royalty benefits, funding ultimately coming to the general fund. Ada only invests in Alaskans. The returns from that investment only go to projects, further projects within Alaska, and ultimately to dividends to the state for the UGF.
Colleen, David, Alan, thank you for being here. Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday. You have a great day.
KFAR, 97.5 FM.